After a few moments of pondering, I realized that no, I wasn't preaching to the choir. I was teaching the choir to preach. And some other things played into it, because for 8 years now, we've had this silly thing called Stump the Pastor going on in our church. But some things, we did it just for kids. But what I'm seeing is it's morphed from that. And I'm seeing you preach at times better sermons than I'm delivering. Short, concise, boom, to the point. And then I see it happening in children. And that's led me to this verse in Ephesians. My mind went to Ephesians 4. So the sermon begins, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. We'll cover maybe half a dozen verses today, and then we'll be reading that again, that other part, and so that's how it's going to unfold. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the same stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into him, may grow up in all things and into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Loaded. Loaded. So I'm not going to rush. In the first verse, Paul describes himself as a prisoner of the Lord. This is to say, he is constrained by the Lord for a certain purpose. His purpose was, if you will, to teach the choir how to preach. And so sometimes the message seems repetitive. In music that I play, I have had to repeat everything over and over and over because I can't read music. So repetition has been vital to me, and to this day, as I begin to forget, and how did that go, and I'm back in repetition. And I would dare say it's often that way with believers who live in the world, living out their faith in the world. Sometimes reminders are helpful, and we're stressed and we're striving, and we need to be reminded of this calling that's been on our life. Oddly enough, his first lesson on preaching had nothing to do with how to talk and everything to do with how to walk. Paul beseeches them. To beseech is to ask or entreat with urgency, to implore, to beg earnestly. Paul, with great urgency and earnest, would have us to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. There's a whole lot to that. Not just called to something, but called by someone. It's God who has called us and must always remain primary to what he's called us to be and do. God must remain primary, not the calling, not what He's asked us to do. That's important. But primary is God, the one who has called us, not just called us, but equipped us to do things with Him. That's what it's all about. Paul, with great urgency and earnest, would have us to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. This is before we go anywhere else. This happens right here. This happens in our homes, in our church. It must. If it doesn't happen here, it won't happen out there. You'll be a seller of truth, a purveyor of information, and it won't really strike home because it lacks these foundational things. Lowliness, all lowliness, he says. A humbleness of mind. I think the best definition I've ever heard is to not consider oneself. What does it mean to be humble? To not consider oneself. God asks you to do something. You just set your hand to it. You don't think you're, oh yeah, I could do that, or oh no, I couldn't do that. You don't even consider it. It's God's will. He's given me the opportunity. You walk into it. Praying all the time. Scared half to death sometimes. Doesn't matter. But you submit yourself to the Lord in His activity. Ah, interesting stuff. Gentleness. With long suffering. Bearing with one another in love. Determining our step. Setting our pace according to the needs of others rather than our personal agendas. A personal agenda will either engage us where we shouldn't be or disengage us when we should be engaged. Because we're the center. And not God. Sometimes God will disengage. Sometimes He will engage. Sometimes you'll be saying what you love to say. Sometimes you don't want to say it at all. But you must. I delivered a word to a person many years ago. And I didn't like the second part of it, so I didn't give that. I just gave the first part. I didn't go to hell over it. At least I don't think I did. I guess I'll know that when I leave. But nonetheless, both parts came true. Now I don't leave words out anymore. Because the second part may have helped him to listen. These things that I have described here in Ephesians 2 are also found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In Galatians, they're referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. Not our spirit, as in our inner man or our refined character. God's Spirit, capital S. Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Those things are foundational. And sometimes we forget. And we try to make them happen. We try to be these things. That's you trying to behave. I don't know about you. Never worked for me. Never worked for me. I couldn't behave myself. I needed God in my life to be my life. And so I remind the choir of this. So the choir goes out and reminds the world they live in. We're getting to the best part. So Paul's not asking the Ephesians to do something that they can't do. For God is their supply through His Spirit. But He may be asking them to do something they've forgotten about. So then we go back. Again, my plane, I go back. I'm showing my grandson some of the old songs I used to play. And I have to go back and relearn them. And sometimes I'm discovering I played that wrong all this time because I can see the actual band that played it on YouTube. Oh, that sounds better. Oh, always learning. To dismiss these attributes by saying, you know, we look at these things and we say, that's not me. I'm not like that. Or these are not my character traits. To do this is to refuse God's supply That's what it is. I'm refusing God's supply. I only do what I'm comfortable with. Okay, then that makes your life just about you. Even religiously, just about you. Okay, so when you stand before Jesus and he says, by what means do you stand before me? You are disqualified to say, by your grace alone, Jesus. You'd be singing the Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way. Yeah, you did. And it won't go well for you. To be filled with the Spirit, so it's to refuse God's supply. So to put it bluntly, it's to be full of ourselves instead of filled with the Spirit. And that's a constant keeping, pushing back self, making God welcome. Every situation will give you an opportunity to do that, to push back self, to welcome in God. And there's a great reason for it. We're still getting to the best part. To be filled with the Spirit has more to do with stepping down than it has stepping up. It's about bowing out rather than taking a bow. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, he must increase and I, do you know it? Decrease. I must. If the will of God is to prevail, if the kingdom of God is to go forth, I must decrease. Nothing short of dying to self will ever cause the decrease that God is looking for. You need to love God more than you love yourself so that you can love yourself properly. Self-esteem is not about loving self. Self-esteem is about loving God properly. Putting Him first. The best part. Let me give you an Old Testament story of hope, disaster, and redemption. Hope, disaster, and redemption. We're going to start in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted in it the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. Wow. Disaster. He'd hoped for something, and it didn't happen. Disaster. Now for redemption. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. Now, this is the prophecy of Jesus. And he came, and he did this. All that we're about to read here. And then he said, greater things than these will you do in my name if I go to the Father. And then he said, I must go to the Father, for if I don't, the Holy Spirit will not come. So now, read this. This is what we do now with him. This is what he came and secured. He descended, turned us loose. Hell had lost its grip. Sits at the right hand of the Father. He ascended. And now, through the Holy Spirit, these are the things that we do with God. Let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Wow. Preach, choir. Preach. And I must continue doing what I do and preach as well. Not just here. I mustn't identify myself as the preacher in the church. I must identify myself with Christ in the world. Preaching everywhere as God provides opportunity. And don't say, oh, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher either. I'm called to be this. I do this. I'm a truck driver by nature and a preacher by calling. And you are whatever you are. And a preacher by calling. We've seen the children do it. In our midst. I've seen you do it. And you do it well. Continue to do it. I'll continue to remind you. Whatever it is God's called you to do. It may be in here. It may be out there. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both. Mal, you did this. And you spoke of it. Some guy crashed into the back of your car. And this guy was really upset and he was crying. Tell me if I don't have the story right. Mal said, you should come to church. I can see you're distressed. You should come to church. Preaching. Preaching. Wow, but you do it with our native community. Do it well. Do it often. As you play soccer and other things, whatever it is you do, Brian and Ann, your boat bumps into the shore in all kinds of different places. You meet all kinds of people. Be real and ready to preach, all of you. All of you, all the time. You're surrounded by neighbors. This is a calling and the enabling of everyone, of every true believer today. Jesus did this when He walked among us, and this is what He has called us to do with Him through the Holy Spirit today. Today. Not according to your understanding. This isn't something you determine to do. You determine to be ready. Well, that's why you come here. This is part of your readiness. I stir you up the best I can. But don't make this the only thing you do. Otherwise, you fall into the ditch. And a ditch is really just a grave with the ends kicked out. And if you think this is it, it's going to get boring for you. Sometimes churches get bored of their pastor because he only has so many ways to say the same thing. I'm saying the same thing. I've said it my ninth year now here saying the same thing. But if you ever come here too much and don't get out there, you'll get bored of me. Maybe you're already bored of me. If you're bored of me, your problem isn't me. Oh, I'm not a great preacher, but the problem isn't me. The problem is you're not getting out there in the world and bringing the message. That's where you experience the joy of the Lord. Out there, you know it's true, don't you? When that happens, you know it's true. Everything inside just stirs. It's great. It's energizing. It gives you a sense of, oh Lord, I want to follow you. Yeah. Out there. So come in here. I'll stir you up best I can. I'll remind you often. And then get out there where you live and be all that God is to a fallen and lost and hurting world. These very things. Don't wait for Jesus to come in and do this. He may be wanting to walk in the room with you and do this. So not only will the people see it done, so will you. It will increase your faith. Don't wait till you have enough faith. You have everything now. Isaiah chapter 5. What more could I have done? God said. What more? What more is there? There's no more. He's done everything He can. He's here in the Holy Spirit. He's filled us with Himself. What more is there? Oh, of course, we have a world now that hates God more than it ever hated Him before. So our job's a little tougher. You can still be who you are. Don't apologize for who you are. I used to be afraid to share Christ where I worked. And then I kept failing. I wanted to, and an opportunity was there, and I failed. Opportunity was there, and I failed. Finally, I realized, you know what? The way these guys talk, because I was one of them, unsaved, the way they talk, they were very bold about their sin and their iniquity and how they lived. And I thought, how come they're bold and I'm not? I became bold. And I shared. Not common to me at that time. It's easier now, but it's still that awkwardness of, oh, I don't know. Stick your neck out a little. Stick your neck out a little. So I think it's right that I preached to the choir. And I think it's right that I sang with the choir out in the world. We are the people of God, filled with God, in a world that is desperate for God. I don't know, that sounds like a really good mix to me. See, every person that we meet without Christ is poor. They are an impoverished soul. Many times we have opportunity to share the good news with such people. Sometimes they embrace it, sometimes they don't. There is opportunity to heal broken hearts all around us every day. Drug abuse is rampant all around us. I was asked the other week, what can we do to help the homeless? Go ask them why they're homeless. And then, if you have opportunity, show them the home that they have in Christ. Who knows? Maybe they'll get a job and actually have a house. Don't be afraid to address it. Instead of just going, walk into the middle of their camp. How's it going? Oh, is your cold? We could sure use some money if you got some. Well, I might have some. How'd you get here? Well, what do you mean? How come you're here? What happened? What happened in your life somewhere down the road? Can I help you with that? Oh, you bet. You bet. Tell people they don't have to be bound in their drug abuse. Maybe they'll listen. We should try. We should try. We, through Christ, can give people beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Yes, we can. We can. If they'll take it, but we should try. Even if they don't take it, we shouldn't stop trying. We should be trying when Christ returns. We should be busy witnessing with somebody. And if there's a couple of people, grab them by the shoulders when the rapture happens, get up about 1,000 feet and ask them if they want you to let go. Or are you coming with me? I'm just being silly, but not really. Not really. Do you have some place? Do you have somebody you want to talk to? Are you praying for people? If somebody is on your heart, you think they should know the gospel, the first thing you need to do is pray for them. And pray for them. And pray for them. And if you pray for them for a very long time and you come and say to me, I've been praying for this person for 4 years and nothing's happened, my answer to you is going to be, keep praying. And look for open doors. You may be the open door. The open door may be to you, it may be to somebody else, but pray for them. Are you engaged in praying for people? Do you have a prayer list? You should have a prayer list. People should be on that list, and you should be going through it every day. I'll pray for you when I think of you. If I said that to somebody with my brain, I would never pray for anybody. Write it down. Live a disciplined life. Be ready for God's activity. Church? Choir? Be ready for Him to work outside of here. You'll be blown out of the water. as He presents an opportunity here, there, and everywhere else, but you have to be ready. Tell yourself, tell God in the morning, I'm ready, God. I'm not able to do anything you ask me to do, but I'm ready. He doesn't need your ability, He just needs your availability. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We do this that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may glorify Him instead of themselves. Watch out for entitlement. I'll close with this today. And this will be a series, apparently. Watch out for that sense of entitlement. It centers us on self, and then we're preoccupied with medicating our personal pain. That's putting it bluntly. And what about the wounded? What about, I just thought a flash came into my head about the in a war, and there's the medics, right? And they're out there in the battlefield, wounded even, picking up even worse wounded people and bringing them back. What about if it's like that? What about if we'll take a wound or two so we can help others? What about serving with that kind of fervor? Because it's a kingdom that we work in. Let's not be the modern church. Let's be the good old-fashioned one that Jesus started building. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's look at getting people full of God instead of being full of themselves. Let's open ourselves to that. Let's be vulnerable. Amen.